This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Wow. What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
It's Wisconsin Sports Daily, served up by Wendy's, live from the 1250 AM, 105.7 FM, the Fan Studios, powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook, Steve Sparky Pfeiffer, Charlie Usen, other side of the glass. Still to come, Bucks legend, Hall of Famer, Sir Sidney. Sidney Moncrief joins us coming up at 3:20. Plus, Green and Gold update brought to you by the Potawatomi Sportsbook comes up at 4 o'clock. Brett Coleman. From the Film Room on YouTube and Bootleg Football Podcast. He was down in Indy last week. He'll join us coming up at 4 o'clock. Joining us now, a guy that I miss, quite frankly. I hate the offseason because I don't get to talk to this guy every week like we do normally in the regular season. And he's one of my favorite people. And since the last time we talked, he went off and started up his own podcast and didn't even ask me to do it with him, which is kind of heartbreaking, to be honest. It's all right, though. I'll move on in life at some point. Tim Dillard, FanDuel Sports Network Brewers analyst. Follow him on Twitter at DimTillard. How are we doing, Tim?
I'm good. It sounds funny, right? The FanDuel Sports Network. I guess that's the first time I've heard it said out loud, so I better get used to that.
Yeah, it is. Yes, I agree. It's a mouthful every time you bring somebody on, then you got to throw that whole thing out there in front of it. When do you head to spring training? Have you been already, or when do you go?
Go in about, I'm not even sure what today is, maybe a week, and I'll be out there for about a week.
Because I know Rotino is out there right now, right?
Yeah, I think he got out there today. I think they're doing a webcast broadcast right now.
Yep.
Probably have one or two games on the TV, and yeah, that's kind of how it's been rolling.
That's good. Okay, so let's catch up here on what all has happened since the last time we talked. And for those of you that are be like, oh, come on, Sparky. No, I'm not coming on. I'm going to ask this question to lead because I still haven't talked to him. Your thoughts on the passing of Bob Uecker?
Oh, my gosh. I don't think, you know, honestly, like, it's hit everybody really hard. And it should. I mean, what a cornerstone for not just an organization, but for baseball. And we haven't been to the ballpark. You know, we haven't walked into American Family Field, and I think it's going to hit again. I really do. But he's always been a legend. He's done everything on this planet that people wish they could do. And, I mean, what a life. And he just was a bundle of joy right up until the last time I talked to him.
Tim Dillard, you are a man that understands how to make people laugh, can crack the one-liners and so forth. What made him so good at humor?
Honestly, it's just because he wanted people to smile. He wanted people to laugh, even if it was at his own expense. And, you know, especially baseball. Baseball, being a player, really, really teaches you self-confidence. You should be confident in yourself. And, you know, don't be self-deprecating because that can be a negative thing. And I don't know. I've always gravitated towards people that keep everything in perspective, and people that do that are the ones that aren't afraid to laugh at themselves. Make a mistake, oh well, you know, make somebody laugh at your expense. To me, there's nothing wrong with that. I've always been attracted to that. Even back when I was watching his VHS tapes on the Wacky World of Sports, you know, just watching the blooper tapes. Like, it was funny. And I think that was his goal, is to just, you know, as much joy as he could inflict on others, and then never let up.
We have the news coming on, making it official about, I don't know, half hour ago. We get the news officially that the Brewers have signed left-handed pitcher Jose Quintana. And it's interesting because D.L. Hall gets moved to the 60-day IL with that left calf strain, or lat strain, I should say. How big of a deal is this? Where do you see him slotting into this rotation?
I think the Brewer, I mean, the first time I heard that, my first thought was good, because he's like one or two wins against the Brewers every year. So just by picking up Quintana, the Brewers have actually won a couple more games already. Yep. So that's good. Faces the Brewers a ton in his career. I think I looked at the batting average against, it's like .218. You know, has probably the most success of any team, at least in a bulk size, when you're talking 20, 25 games or whatever. He's been so good against the Brewers. And the Brewers have been looking for left-handed starters. I mean, you look at Gasser, you look at Ashby,
Cortez.
You can go down the list, D.L. Hall, Cortez. Like, they are trying to find some folks that can eat up innings from the left side. So, to me, it made perfect sense. I think he threw 170 innings last year. You know, you start going around the rotation of the Brewers last year. Who's throwing 170 innings? So, maybe it's not the way they drew it up, but they made an emphasis on trying to find left-handed starters, because I think that plays. I think there's certain teams that struggle with left-handed pitching, and the Brewers want to exploit that rather than running out so many, you know, right-handed arms every single time and are forced to use the opener. You know, that can kind of throw you off at times. So, I mean, I think it makes perfect sense to have a guy that's durable, that knows the division. And what I really like is Ed McAlvey was, you know, writing a few things about what Mark Canha said about Quintana. And you think about how Mark Canha got over, it's because someone like Yelich went to Matt Arnold and said, I can vouch for this guy. You know, so you start seeing how things play out. Hey, will this guy fit into our clubhouse? Boom, we have a firsthand experience. So that's what I love about baseball, man, and especially the Brewers, is they really try to get guys that can gel with what the goal is.
When we talk about putting him in the rotation, I kind of feel like it's probably the same way as how somebody makes a lineup, which is you want to go left, right, and maybe not stack lefties back-to-back, which essentially would then mean Nestor Cortez would be two, and then Quintana maybe at four with maybe Myers plopped between them.
Yeah, I mean, they can draw it up however they want. I think it's going to have a lot to do with spring training. Like, you can make a plan and have this guy, and this guy, but it's not going to come to fruition unless, you know, guys are healthy and they make their starts and they get their innings and there's no setback. So I don't know what the ultimate plan is, but to me, if you want to alternate it that way, it could throw some offenses off kilter a little bit, just because they're trying to get a groove and all of a sudden you're changing the lineup. We saw that with the Brewers, right? Who's going to bat first, Terang or you know, Churio? And it depends on who's a lefty and who's a righty.
He is Tim Dillard, FanDuel Sports Brewers analyst. Follow him on Twitter at Dim Tillard. Let's continue to talk about this Brewers pitching staff, if you don't mind. This bullpen has been rock solid for the Brewers for quite some time. They now lose, obviously, Devin Williams. McGill is hurt to start spring training. I'm not too concerned about that long term. Do you feel confident in this Brewers bullpen still going into the season? Well, like I think a lot of Brewers fans do.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, I mean, they got a big bulk from last year that are back. And then they got a bunch of arms that people have been excited about for a year or two to see them in action. And you put that with the fact that they have one of the best pitching coaching staffs that's out there. You got to be excited. And you can say, well, you know, they don't have Devin Williams. And Devin Williams is one of the best relievers in all of baseball for the last, 4 to 5 years. So, yeah, it's going to hurt. But at the same time, he didn't even get healthy and on the field till, you know, what, almost halfway through the season. So the Brewers were able to manage during that time, and I think they'll continue to do that. They have some just dynamic weapons when you got the two left-handed condors in Koenig and Hudson, and then, of course, McGill. You got some flamethrowers, Piamps, Peguero. Like, these guys know what they're doing. And then the possibility of Abner Uribe coming back. I think he's throwing his first innings in spring training coming up here since he hurt his knee. So, I mean, yeah, I think there's a lot to be excited about for this bullpen.
Tim, the other part about this is, like you mentioned, is this Brewers lineup, and third base is a hole right now if they decide to put Joey Ortiz at shortstop. Now, we've seen Terang play shortstop in some lineups this spring so far, and Ortiz stay at third, and we've seen, you know, Durbin and other guys play at second base. Then we've seen other lineups like today where Durbin is at third base and Ortiz is at shortstop. Do you have a preference of how you'd want to see this played out? Because I definitely have a preference.
Well, I'm sure they have the metrics on how all this stuff, like who's got the most range and who's going to fit. I'm sure there's a whole bunch of people and data and hard drives and, you know, I don't know how all that stuff works, but there's probably something going on there. But if I'm Pat Murphy, if I'm Matt Arnold, I come together and the first person I ask is Bryce Terang. Bryce Terang, you just won platinum glove at second base. Do you want shortstop? That's what I would do. Just because if you start bringing somebody else in, it's like, I feel bad for Bryce Terang. He came, you know, up at a time when Willy Adames was holding down short,
right?
You know, for the most part defensively, but definitely with the bat. Bryce Terang fights through his first year offensively, comes back, by far finally gets recognized for his defense. His offense is off the charts, does everything imaginable, and he still can't get over to shortstop. So if he wants to go to shortstop, I would let him have the chance. Now, that said, he may feel more comfortable at second base now that he's had a couple of years under his belt at second base in the big leagues, and it might be easier for Joey Ortiz to, you know, kind of scooch over to shortstop because we've seen that both of them can play the position of well above average. But again, that comes back to third base. So that for me would be the order of events. But I'm not in charge, and that's, I'm looking at it from a player standpoint of, you know, that kind of hierarchy that you have. Like, you know, you put in the time, you put in the effort, you put up the numbers. So you deserve to have that brought to your attention. That's how I would handle it. But I really like, I mean, Oliver Dunn's done a great job at third base. Durbin, what a pickup. I mean, you got some guys that got pop. They may not be huge, but they got pop and they can field their position. So the Brewers got a lot of young talent once again.
Okay, so first of all, I love your philosophy and how you would do it. Now let's be realistic. How often does that really happen in the pros, where players are kind of asked their opinion on something before something happens?
Probably not a ton, at least not for a guy that's, you know, just finished his sophomore season. I think I was referring to maybe the conversations I've heard where it's usually an older guy like, hey, can we get you to first base? Or maybe we can do you DH, or, you know, you're slowing down a step at short. Can we move you to third? Like you know, those things happen in baseball.
Right.
But if you really want a transparent clubhouse, you really want to be up front. I have a hard time believing that the moment Willy Adames was not a Brewer anymore, I want to think that Pat Murphy or Matt Arnold called Bryce Terang. You know, like that's, to me, is the biggest courtesy that you could share, especially when time starts ticking away a little bit. Because when you're in spring training and something like this happens and you get thrust into a new position, we hear about all this all the time, right? Last year, hey, Sal Frelick, you get a couple of weeks at third base. You know, good luck. And if you're a guy in the offseason, you're switching positions, you want to know as quickly as possible, hey, possibility you may go to shortstop. Just reiterating, you probably knew this, but this is official now. You may go to shortstop. Or, hey, we don't know the deal yet, you know, so you need to cover both positions when you're working out in the offseason. Because, you know, the days start tick away, and then all of a sudden you're in spring training and the season starts. You want to make sure you have your reps everywhere you need your reps.
Absolutely love it. That's why you're the best. Tim Dillard, FanDuel Sports Network Brewers analyst. Follow him on Twitter at Dim Tiller. Tell everybody about your new podcast.
Oh, yeah. I started it for no reason. It's called Buses, Benches, and Baseball. You can find it on YouTube. I'm sure it's on the podcast platforms. But basically, I'm just calling up old teammates. Actually, I'm texting them. And then I'm just jumping on a pod with them. Hadn't seen them in 10 years. Just got done with one about an hour ago. Just hearing stories and catching up. It's very selfish on my part because I just want to reconnect with these guys. But just to hear the stories in the minor leagues, because we know about the big leagues. There's so much devoted to the big leagues. But there's 99% of professional baseball players that have some amazing stories and lessons and skills that they've learned in the minor leagues. And to celebrate coaches and teammates, it's a really cool thing. It's not too long. And I'm pretty sure I'm using some copyright infringement stuff. So
are you
fun. Check it out.
I'm pretty sure I know the answer to this, but how real are you keeping it as far as the pay, what the circumstances are like, you know, food, living situation, and stuff like that that we've heard along the way?
Yeah, I mean, it's PG. But at the same time, you know, things are different now in the minor leagues than they were.
Right.
And it's not like, oh, well, that was so long ago. No, we're talking 3-4 years ago. This is the way the minor leagues was for 100 years. So it's a big bulk of people's lives. And it's just really fun to see guys' faces. We just jump on a Zoom call and we shoot the breeze for 30 minutes, an hour maybe. And it's just, I don't know, that's really all it is. But I'm telling you, it's fun. There's some interesting stories, some stuff you've never heard of, because the minor league baseball circuit has not been explored. It's one of the last known regions of the world that no one's really dug into. So hopefully this will kind of shed some light on that.
I love it. He is Tim Dillard. Again, follow him on Twitter, at Dim Tiller. He's always putting the links up for the podcast and so forth. And letting you guys hear some clips from the podcast, so make sure to check that out. Tim, thank you so much.
Yep. Thanks, Sparky. See you soon, man.
You betcha. Take care. There he is, Tim Dillard here. On Wisconsin Sports Daily, served up by Wendy's, live from the 1250 AM, 105.7 FM, The Fan Studios, powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook.